WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
Most of us have known for a long time that smoking is bad for our health, specifically our lungs. My guest today is going to talk about other effects that smoking has and the one thing we can do to help our heart health. Dr. Peter Haig is a faculty member in the Division of Cardiology in the Department of Internal Medicine at the University of Kentucky College of Medicine. Peter, thank you very much for talking with me today. I was interested in and learned a lot from a recent article you had on UK Now talking about a particular single lifestyle change that we can make in order to nurture or improve our cardiac health. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me on your podcast. Happy to be here. In that blog post, I discussed the importance of quitting smoking, something that I talk to patients about quite a bit in the cardiology clinic.
And I think a lot of us probably associate chronic tobacco use with pulmonary disorders, things like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, but one of the focuses of that blog post is even smoking a fairly, quote, small amount, end quote, can have negative impacts on our hearts.
Yeah, that's true. Most of the general public is aware of the association of tobacco smoke with lung cancer, but I find many patients don't actually know that tobacco use is a major risk factor for heart disease and a number of other cancers outside of just lung cancer. And it also has a number of other deleterious effects on the human body. So in my mind, when I'm talking to patients about that, I'm not just focused on their heart and cardiovascular system. I'm trying to improve their quality of life and their chances of living a full long life. So it's time well spent for me.
You know, I'm reaching very far back in my medical training, but as a second year medical student in our pathology course, we had to write a thesis paper to pass the course. And my thesis was on tobacco use. And I remember as a student being really taken aback by all the organ systems that were affected by tobacco use, gastrointestinal, our kidney, our vision, our oral health. All of these things can be negatively impacted in addition to our hearts and lungs.
Yeah, that's right. I spend most of my time talking about the cardiovascular negative impacts of tobacco smoke, but it's also worth mentioning that patients will feel better. Sometimes that's a better way to motivate patients to try to make an effort to quit. Studies show that your pulmonary symptoms, shortness of breath, those sort of things, improve within 12 months of quitting. So while tobacco smoke can cause irreversible lung damage, you can still feel better by making that big leap of faith to quit.
For those who are wanting to quit or maybe have tried in the past and have not been successful, what sort of resources are there at the university or out in the community for folks who really want to quit this time?
Sure, there's a number of resources. So I always suggest turning to medical professionals and other support groups to get help, because studies show that you're more likely to quit and to stay absent from smoking if you do get help. In the clinic, we talk about a few different options. Behavioral interventions. So we actually are doing a study at UK called the Merit Study. And this study actually pays participants to participate. All they have to do is answer the phone and talk to some of our trained personnel about motivation to quit and some of the benefits of quitting. I layer that on top of nicotine replacement therapies. We can talk more about that. And also different pharmacotherapies to reduce cravings. So medications that you can take to reduce cravings. Outside of that, I direct people to the American Heart Association website. There's a lot of resources there. And then people have probably seen the TV commercials, but you dial quit now on your phone. You can visit their website, and there's a number of other resources there and through the community. So lots of ways to get help.
So lots of ways thinking. So there's pharmacologic help like nicotine replacement therapies. I've heard a lot of folks who are attempting to stop using tobacco have engaged in counselors, therapists, that sort of thing as well, sort of a multifaceted approach.
That's true. Yeah. So behavioral therapy layered on top of some kind of pharmacotherapy like nicotine replacement has been shown to be more successful than using either method alone or to try to quit without getting any help at all. In my clinic, I will usually offer nicotine and I'll prescribe nicotine replacement therapies, both long and short acting, like your nicotine patches, and then a short acting for sort of breakthrough cravings like a gum or a lozenge. I'll layer that on top of behavioral interventions like participation in that study. And finally, if patients are interested, I'll also typically reach for varenicline or Chantix, as it's sort of better known, which essentially doubles the chances that a patient is going to quit smoking.
When one of the things you mentioned in your post was that it's not just about us ourselves if we are using tobacco. It's also about others in our environment, perhaps our family, our coworkers, our community, that that smoke affects them as well.
Yeah, secondhand smoke is also tied to adverse health outcomes. So even if you quit smoking, but four other people in your house are smoking like a chimney, all that secondhand smoke is going to affect your body as well. So sometimes it's a family affair. Everybody has to do it together. One of the best ways to stay quit is to remove any tobacco products from the home. So that would require that any housemates you're living with also take that step with you. So sometimes we talk a little bit about that in the clinic.
Well, before we part, Peter, is there anything else you would want our listeners to know if they're thinking about stopping or have family members, friends, colleagues who are thinking about stopping?
Yeah, sure. I think one thing that changed my conversation with patients about quitting smoking goes beyond sort of what I learned in medical training, and that has to do with the psychology of habits. So I read a book called The Power of Habit. It's by Charles Duhigg, and it really changed my approach to this conversation and for talking to patients about really any addiction. So I encourage people, if they are interested in a really fascinating book, The Power of Habit, but Charles Duhigg talks about these habit loops that we all fall into. And essentially you have a trigger, and then you have an activity that you do, and then you have a reward. And so I encourage patients to not only focus on the chemical addiction to smoking, but also to try to identify their cues or their triggers for picking up a cigarette, whether that's their morning coffee or when they get in the car. And if you can identify your triggers, you then can make a plan. You can prepare and think ahead, and ideally you can replace the cigarette as the reward with something else. So I've had patients quit smoking by using cinnamon sticks. They still get that hand-to-mouth routine, and it satisfies that sort of oral stimulation. And it's going to be different for everybody. So, and that aspect of things, I can't always offer tangible reward solutions, but I think to get patients thinking about that is a really good first step.
Well, Dr. Peter Haig, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Of course, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
My thanks today to Dr. Peter Haig, cardiologist at the University of Kentucky, for talking with us about the beneficial effects of quitting smoking. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist and professor emeritus at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time covering important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.